your life today.
Did House Speaker Pelosi really say that town hall protesters are un-American? Give us your tired, hungry, poor, and illegal, at least the ones that can slip through, until 2010. Immigration, the fix is on hold, according to President Obama. They say patience is a virtue, but give me a break. I would be going ballistic. How about those 47 people that were locked down in the jet for 9 hours in Minnesota? Can you imagine? Without the use of bathroom facilities? Absolutely. I'm a polite person, but I think I'd be enraged. Not even a peanut among them to split in the 9 hour period. And what if there were children on board that flight? I don't really know. I don't think there was, but that would be even more disastrous. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Of course, just some of the things that we're going to talk about on this show. Started off with Nancy Pelosi. I told you in our last show that Nancy Pelosi was planning to co-author an op-ed piece in the USA Today. Now, the USA Today is like, I call it the pop feeder paper because it's pretty, it has lots of colors, and everybody reads it when they travel. And if you just want to get little snippets of news, it's just perfect, right? So in this era of a newspaper really shrinking or flat out going away, it still exists. And there are a lot of op-ed pieces that are read because there's so many flyers. And you can pick up the USA Today in your neighborhood still. It hasn't disappeared. So the White House immediately disputed the Pelosi contention that, yeah, you're un-American if you're part of this town hall protesting. They disagreed this afternoon with the Speaker of the House and Steny Hoyer, who, of course, is the House Majority Leader, that these disruptions at the town hall meetings are not un-American. In fact, Bill Burton, one of the White House flacks, or the official title, Deputy Press Secretary, was trotted out and told reporters on Air Force One, because, of course, they were asked about the comments that Pelosi and Hoyer made. This is a quote. I think there's actually a pretty long tradition of people shouting at politicians in America. And went a little bit further to say the president thinks that if people want to come and have what he calls a spirited debate about health care, a real vigorous conversation about it, that's part of the American tradition. He encourages that because people do have questions and concerns. Thank you very much. We've been saying that all along. Stop blaming talk show hosts. Stop blaming the so-called plants. I really don't believe it has anything to do with that. And we live in America. We have freedom of speech, baby. It's the best thing. It rocks. That's why we love living here, right? In the cradle of liberty. Doesn't matter if you're east, west, in between. We all have the same rights. So earlier today on MSNBC, and I thought this was pretty good. I was watching it on Morning Joe. Former Congressman Henry Ford had this to say about, look, this is what's happened with health care and what the Democrats need to do and really what's the missing part of this equation.
Healthcare, as much as I respect and appreciate John's insights on this, I have to disagree. I think the Congress, having served there, you served there, they play a bigger role. The president had a big problem. The real shortcoming in his press conference the other night on healthcare was that he had a specific problem in laying out specifically what he was for. He couldn't in a sustained way say what he expected from Congress and how to pay for it. There are questions, as you well know, about how the Congress wants to pay for it, how the Senate chooses to pay for it, what the cost containment provisions are. Where John Harwood is exactly correct is that the president wants a public health option. But even that has found its way into an area that I'm not clear what the president exactly, how he exactly defines one. What's going to have to happen? I happen to agree with you, Joe, on the town hall meetings. People have the right to come out, even if those efforts are organized by K Street or organized by corporate types. So what? When you go to a town hall meeting, you put yourself before the public, and people have every right to ask whatever question, as irritating as it may be. I think what my party has to do is to probably step back a moment here, get back to the drawing board, and define clearly what how you plan to contain costs, how you plan to address those who don't have health insurance, and how you expect to address those who have illnesses and are kicked off their insurance when they go see their doctor. Those questions haven't been answered.
Exactly. This is what we've been saying all along. Clearly define this, because it is not clearly defined. I've gone over this many times. As I specifically said in our last show over the week, and I was looking at the bill again, and if you look at the House bill, there's nothing about cutting costs, and supposedly that's what we're being sold. Hey, this is going to cut costs. So if you have great insurance, you love it. Bottom line is, it's not always going to stay the same, and it's going to continue to rise, and you're going to grumble, and it's going to be a pain, and it's going to hurt the United States. So we all have to get on board with this. But there's nothing about cutting costs that I could see clearly in the House bill whatsoever. So they do have to go back to the drawing board, and they being everybody who represents us, Republican or Democrat, if they want some kind of health care reform. With a little bit of a different twist on the same show, Pat Buchanan talked about how far Obama has swung to the left as it kind of relates to health care.
I tell you, the perception here in town and among an awful lot of people is that Barack Obama was elected to run sort of a centrist government. He said, bring us together government, and that he is governed from the left. He has one foot in the left. That is certainly the perception of the American people, Joe. Yeah. You know, this Sergeant Crowley thing was a killer. The Quinnipiac poll showed that by 54 to 27, white Americans who gave Obama more votes than they gave Kerry, that they thought he handled it stupidly. I think he's perceived as a man of the left now, and he was not 6 months ago.
All right, there's no doubt many people that call this show certainly echo that same sentiment, that what has happened, people that voted for Obama, people that didn't vote for him, people that said, just as Buchanan said, he's trying to be a little bit more moderate, a little bit more in the middle, a little bit more of a centrist, and obviously in looking at the first 200-plus days, it's really been anything but that. So coming up later in the show, we'll talk more about health care, including this little nugget that broke. I'm not necessarily surprised, but AARP in big trouble with a lot of seniors over what their stance is on this health care reform, because what's happening is a lot of seniors are burning up the phone lines, wanting to know, why are they taking this stance with health care reform? They're so enraged that they're tearing up membership cards, firing off nasty letters and emails, and all to the CEO of the AARP. And really, this is what we're talking about. A lot of older people are confused, upset, don't understand what's going to happen. And so the debate just got a little bit hotter. I mean, it's gotten a lot hotter. And AARP right in the thick of it. In fact, they just had a special forum in Dallas, and a lot of the people had to walk out, a lot of the officials that were there, to talk about other things, left because there were so many interruptions in the middle of the meeting, and they were all questions that were generated about what's going to happen, how does this affect my health care, that kind of thing. So what's happening is, not just at special meetings by the AARP, but other organizations, whenever there's a meeting, people are showing up to protest health care reform, even if the meeting has nothing to do with it. Coming up a little bit later, a recent poll by Fox News shows that seniors, many of whom are on Medicare, don't want an overhaul. What are those numbers? I'll tell you about it coming up in a few here Market tonight, but next we're going to talk about property taxes. Hang with us.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean, it really works. No, I mean, it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Those poor people stuck on that plane. Did you hear the story? If you haven't, that's coming up on ATN Round the Bend. Hey, everybody. Kate hanging out with you as per usual. What about those property taxes? I have a couple of friends. In fact, one of them has come on the show with us many times when there's been disasters in California or the Michael Jackson stuff, Annie Zdarovich. And she lives in a place called Westlake Village, and she's always complaining to me about what's going on with the taxes in California. And it's really strange. And we have many friends listening to us in the West Coast, and all of us struggle with the whole property tax thing in general, depending on how long you've been in a house, what the circumstances are, and of course, lately, what's happened because of the recession. Are you getting slammed a little bit more? So joining us on the air is Valerie Faltus. And she's an expert, a tax expert, certainly in this area. And especially when you're talking about something so convoluted, that I want to throw that lifeline out to our pals in Cali about Prop 13. Hey, Valerie, thanks for jumping on ATN.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, let's rewind this a little bit. We know what's going on with California and the current budget crisis and all that sort of stuff, but what's the deal? Explain what Prop 13 is, because there's some confusion over what it is.
There's a lot of confusion about Prop 13. Prop 13 is actually very simple. What it is, it was passed about 30 years ago, and it was a voter-initiated proposition. And it was passed essentially to cap property taxes because homeowners were being driven out of their homes because they were being reassessed every year. So what Prop 13 does is places a limit, and what it states is that there are only two triggers for reassessment in California. One is a change in ownership, and two is new construction. So normally when people purchase a property, it's a change in ownership, right? The property has changed hands, and consequently there's been a reassessment, and it's usually what they paid for the property as long as it was market value. So what happens is that value becomes their base value, and that's where everything is added to or taken away from. And essentially, that's what they pay property taxes on. So, for example, the average home in LA County was going for about $600,000 at the height of the market. And so with a tax base of $600,000, you're paying about 1.25% of that value. So that equates to about $7,000 a year. And so what happens is over time, that base will trend slightly every year, about 2%. But other than that, it pretty much stays the same. And so those same homes today are only worth about $350,000, maybe $400,000, depending on the area.
Right.
So that loss in value of about $200,000 or maybe $250,000 equates to $2,500 or $3,000 a year in property taxes. So the biggest thing today is that a lot of homeowners are getting a temporary break called Prop 8, which is a decline in value. However, there is a way that Prop 13 actually offers a permanent reduction. It's just a matter of understanding how to reestablish a base value.
Oh, so jump in there. How do you do that? How do you take advantage of it?
It's actually really, really simple. And that's exactly what I talk about in Property Tax Little Black Book. And there's also a free ebook on my website that completely explains Prop 13 and how it actually works, and then goes into what Prop 8 is and kind of the disadvantages of it, and then gets into this permanent break. It's really simple, actually. It's just kind of fully understanding the way Prop 13 works. So understanding how, when it caps property taxes, how it can actually help you in a declining market, because everything is based on market value. So the great, great news for homeowners is that with the low market, they can actually utilize Prop 13 to their advantage. So instead of, you know, being stuck with the fact that they bought a home at the height of the market, it's actually a great thing, because now that the market's gone down, they could take advantage of those lower values and use Prop 13 to help them save, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 every single year they own their home.
You know what, too, Valerie, it's interesting, and you know certainly that you've done this for a long time, for however long in your career. You were with the Los Angeles County Assessor's Office, so you know what you're talking about. You assessed like 6,000 properties or more, so you learned about all this kind of stuff, and you're trying to share it. How many people really know about this? You know, there's smart people out there, but I'm just assuming there are a lot of people who have no clue.
Yeah, there actually aren't a lot of people that know about this. Quite honestly, what compelled me to write the Little Black Book is I was working for the LA County Assessor, and what I realized when I was working there, I was helping homeowners get this, apply for this temporary break. And because of the way it's set up, it's really, it doesn't help the homeowner out for a lot of reasons. And I realized, you know what, I actually know a better way. And it wasn't really kosher for me to disclose while I worked for the assessor. And so that's why I left the assessor, to make the information public, because I knew I could help homeowners in a much more substantial way by explaining to them how things work in the assessor's office, you know, what the flip side of it. You know, it seems like a very scary place, and often it's approached that way, and yet it's so simple. And I explain all of that also in Property Tax Little Black Book. And
yeah,
so
yeah, you can,
basically, yeah, I talk about what
ahead.
Prop 13 is in, you know, in place, in action, how it actually plays out in terms of your property taxes and how the assessor's office function and processes things.
Yeah.
So
now you could go back
to it.
You could go back. If you, for example, have been giving too much money, couldn't you go back and make this retroactive? Could you get a refund?
Yes, actually you can. It depends on the property. It's going to vary a little bit. And, of course, you know, always be careful of anything you do with your home. And, yes, you can. Based on the law and based on the way certain things are set up, you absolutely can.
How many people do you think in other states, and they don't have Prop 13, but there are other things that are going on in other states, and I would bet that it would probably be smart for anybody, I don't care if they're listening to us or listening to us in Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Minnesota, wherever, it probably would be smart to go down to the assessor's and figure out the whole value thing, wouldn't it? Because there might be something in it for them as well.
Exactly, exactly. And what I do is teach homeowners exactly what they're dealing with. So before you walk into the assessor screaming and yelling because they've, you know, screwed you out of how much money, which they're not really trying to do, believe it or not, they're really not trying to screw you. I basically teach the homeowner what they need to know in order to lower their property taxes. So understanding appraisal, which is very critical, to their property tax value, and also understanding what goes on in the assessor and how you can help the assessor help you. Because they really do want to help. The problem is they're just inundated with work and overwhelmed and tired of being yelled at. So I basically teach the homeowner how to really kind of take ownership of their property taxes and based on their state laws and based on the way it's set up to basically hand the assessor what they need to lower their property taxes. So, yeah. And that's all explained in the little black book.
How tough is it in California right now with, like I said, I have a friend that live in L.A. and I have a friend that lives in San Francisco.
Right.
And they both did well on previous homes, but now they're in these homes that,
right,
of course, have lost $300,000 in value or whatever. How,
right,
as somebody who's looked at this, how long do you think it takes, and just your opinion, for things to bounce back a little bit?
In terms of the market, the real estate market?
Yeah, in terms of the market, what you're seeing.
In my opinion, it's going to be a while. And I just because the bubble was so big when it burst, it will bounce back. It will come back, and it will come back higher and stronger than before. The market always, always does if you look at the history of real estate. However, I think because of the extremity of the things that happened with the banks and those kinds of things, it's going to be some time. So, I mean, the good news about that is it's a great opportunity to save on property taxes. It's a great opportunity to get loans modified, you know, to do different things. At the same time, my personal opinion, it's going to be some time.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much the case almost anywhere. And this would apply to so many people. Valerie had a great comment that you need to listen to. Don't go in guns blazing when you go into the assessor's office.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, I mean, I worked for the assessor. I had people slam doors in my face and scream and yell and treat me like I was the devil incarnate. You know, I was out to get them. And truthfully, I wasn't. I was just doing my job. And, you know, and it was really just a numbers game. I was there, you know, I had a job to do, and that's all I was doing. I had no personal incentive, you know, to raise their property taxes. And, of course, while I worked for the assessor, of course I wanted to help homeowners. You know, I've been a homeowner several times myself. And, you know, anyone who works for the assessor, anyone is always happy to help someone else out. However, it's a little intimidating to help someone who's screaming and yelling at you, you know, like you're out to get them. And so the first step is to understand, number one, they're really not out to get you. They would love to help you. It's just a matter of, you know, they don't really have the time to articulate and explain everything that goes into what they do. And obviously dealing with somebody who's very emotional about the process and not understanding it is difficult. So
yeah, absolutely. It's really about controlling your temper, just like we say at these town hall meetings. Same thing with the health care reform. Ask the questions before you get all uptight. Valerie, thanks so much. And again, the book is called The Property Tax Little Black Book. Go to www.propertytaxlittleblackbook.com. You can get a copy of that. Stick with us. We're going to talk about those town hall meetings next.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button, and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit idstronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The old saying about once the cat's out of the bag, it's pretty tough. And the whole problem with health care reform, as we backpedal here on America Tonight, is something that we talked about a month ago. The fact that there was no plan. And I love it that now you have all these people that are all over cable TV or the nightly news or the Sunday television talk shows, and they're saying that, well, you know, the Democrats really should have done this, just like former Congressman Ford. They really should have just backed it up a little bit, and they should have thought it out and not try to ram it through. Well, of course, that was the major, major problem with this thing in the first place. So what happens is somebody who's older, whether they're in assisted living, whether they're completely living in their same home and just have a little help, or whether they're not really even at that stage, or just a little bit older, they just qualified for the AARP and they're already ripping up their card. There's confusion because there's nothing clearly that's been written or defined, not really, on what is going on with the bill. Yes, there have been some meaty stories released about it, but even the meatier stories released about it don't really tell you, okay, what does this mean for me? Because in the end, that's what people want to know. Whenever anything with the government happens, whatever the regulation is, whatever has changed, you need to know, right? I mean, anything in our lives. It's like when 9/11 happens. Thing changes with the airport and security. You have to get to the airport 2.5 hours beforehand. If you don't, you won't get on the plane. And once you go there, you've got to take off your shoes. You've got to take off your belt. All that stuff. Everything changed, right? You can't take liquid. If you take liquid, you have to dump it out. That's an example. That's just a loose example. But healthcare is that much more serious, because we're not even talking about getting on a plane, for God's sake, where, okay, so it's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient, you didn't realize it, you didn't know it, you weren't informed about what has changed with the rule today on what you have to take off or how you might be wanded when you're at the airport. Now we're talking about a life change. It is a life change. Maybe it would, what if it was a life change for the better? Well, no one's going to think that, because it was never released that way. It was just released that everybody will have it. Remember originally, everybody's going to have it. Employers will have to supply it. And then too bad, if your small business makes $250,000, you'll have to come up with it. Then we're going to have a public option. But then that was dumped. So it's been confusion from the get-go, and it's still not clear, right? And that's the problem. That's why you have people that are upset, that are going to town hall meetings, that are worried or concerned, because they know they're retired. They're not working. They saved XYZ, and they're on a fixed income. So that they need to know, well, what does this do to my health care? Well, nothing. Well, great. I like my health care. Okay, fine. That Medicare is basically the same. Everything stays the same. That program doesn't get tweaked. That's why you have so many older people at the meetings, and good for them, good for anybody who expresses themselves. And shame, shame, shame on Nancy Pelosi. Why would she say that it's un-American to go to a town hall meeting and express yourself, even if you're a little heated and you get a little crazy for a second and you interrupt the speaker? Okay. Maybe you should have sat down and waited, but guess what? They didn't pass the microphone around. Still, using the words un-American, stupid on her part. And, of course, the White House has to backtrack once again while the president is in Mexico meeting about other things, and come out with a statement that they don't agree with Nancy Pelosi's point of view on the tough wording of un-American. Here's what Senator Tom Coburn, Republican from Oklahoma, here's what he had to say. This is his take, and remember, he's done this town hall meeting thing. This is his take on future meetings that he's holding and what's going on here in America.
Well, I think people are afraid. We kind of have a predicate right now in our country with the recession, with the big spending, with the big deficits, with the unemployment, the loss of control, loss of personal control, and then you come in and you say, I've got my health care, but somebody's going to start tinkering with it. I don't want anybody to mess with that. Everything else is a mess. Why mess with this right now? And I think it's fear-based.
Okay, and so he's right. It is fear-based. It's fear-based because of all the reasons that I just said. It's funny. I've been going through blogs just out of curiosity to see what some older people are saying about the AARP and about health care and how critical it is and all that other sort of stuff. And I think that this one I happen to come across sums it up good. AARP no longer is a PAC that represents senior Americans' best interests. My wife, myself, won't be renewing our memberships. Hopefully our friends and others will see what this organization really stands for, and likewise protest by not supporting their ingenuous actions. Man, the AARP is in serious, serious trouble. And when you think of the money that, seriously, the money that they're going to lose with canceled memberships, and I truly believe they're going to trickle in, because I've heard this all over the place. And, of course, this is just starting to leak out. And I have a feeling that if they don't do some serious PR work, and I mean, they have got to jump on it right now, they will have such a dwindling membership. And, you know, that was the old joke. Hey, did you get your AARP card in the mail? But truly, it was a good thing to be a part of because of the discounts for many people. And they'll just throw the discounts out and say, forget about it. I want nothing to do with that organization because, you know what, they don't represent us if they're going in the direction of, you know, what the government is saying, because all we're seeing is that they're supporting the healthcare reform plans, but we've never been really told about this, right? And here's another interesting thing. Because it's such a tight spot now that the Democrats are in and that President Obama's in, because this really is his baby. This was the thing to push, to race through, to finally be the guy, to get it done, that kind of thing. And so now it is mending the fences that have been broken. And one of the things that Obama came out and said, which I find interesting because we have many Canadian callers certainly on this show, and Al and Sam, for example, when they've called in, we've asked them about health care in Canada. And both of them have said they've used the word mediocre. It's okay. It depends on where you live. It depends on what's wrong with you. It depends on this. It depends on that. So here's what's interesting. Obama defended, because, of course, he's with Stephen Harper, or was with Stephen Harper in Mexico for the Three Amigos meeting, and he defended Canada's health care system, saying that the northern neighbor is used as the boogeyman for this debate. But he's not looking to duplicate the Canadian model. Forget about the Canadian model. That's not what we're trying to do. And they're getting dragged into this, right? Obama contends, you know, the United States spends the most money per person on health care. But some measures certainly show that the U.S. doesn't rank at the top in terms of outcomes, and we know that, right? So Canada spends $3,600 on health care. That's almost half of what's spent in the United States, we're talking about per capita, right? And the Canadian system obviously has problems because we've talked about this on the show, the long waits for the treatment and the substandard care, let's be honest, in some cases. The private clinics that now are starting to bubble up for people who are willing to pay. How about that? People never talk about that. Guess what? There are private clinics. If you got some bucks in Canada, you're not waiting 6 months for a bed because it's, oh, surgery that can wait. If you're willing to pay it, you can jump in front of your own line because you're the first person in the door. It's a private clinic. And if you look at the United States, Obama's saying 46 million or 47 million people, whatever the number is, don't have health insurance. And, of course, those people are always at risk of losing. There are people always at risk of losing theirs because of pre-existing conditions or job changes. And that part's true. The job changes now in the United States, you can be an honest, hard-working Joe. You can, let's face it. And you do everything you're supposed to do. You have the ethical boundaries and whatever. And there is no gold watch anymore for a lot of people at the end of this thing and a big retirement. It's just not the way things work. So you do end up jumping jobs and changing jobs. So the pre-existing condition is very tough on people. This is one of the things that I would say has to change if you're going to tweak healthcare. And I think all of us, and I think many of you listening to me agree that there are some things that could happen that could be tweaked with, changed in healthcare. But not this crazy overhaul that's not even laid out in some form of a model. There's no model to look at to know what's going to happen or what's being proposed. Just grand rhetoric across the land. And that's why you're seeing so many people bubble up in anger. And that's why you're going to continue to see this truly, I believe, over the rest of the summer, and when we get to the fall, it'll be interesting because you just might have, I wouldn't be shocked by this, and I know that there's some people, I can't really reveal it on the air because it's premature, but there are some people organizing some big rallies on the Hill come fall, and it may be one of the biggest that you have ever seen. You know, the White House is even talking about launching a website to battle back with the healthcare rumors. We got to battle those rumors, so let's go to the White House website and see if it's true or if it's false. Coming up next, we have some juicy, juicy people that we're going to throw into the dungeon. You're going to love these stories, juicy stories, really. That's next on ATN.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people,
there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Well, I had to toss a coin to decide where I was going to go first with this one. Hope you're doing well, America. Kate Delaney, America, tonight. Here's the deal. We got some candidates for the dungeon. You're just going to have to share a cell. It might be a little bit crowded and two very extreme, I think, examples. Two completely different things. Before we dive into that, let me just say this. I wish the best for the Kennedy family. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, her family called to the hospital. It doesn't look real good. She's been critical now, I think, for a couple of days. And no matter what you think about the Kennedys or their politics or any of that kind of stuff, put the politics aside. Here's the deal with Shriver. She was the founder of the Special Olympics. Yeah. I mean, and this woman worked tirelessly for that cause. She really, really did. I had the distinct honor of once getting a chance to interview her, and she was just a lovely woman. And that's all it was about. It's just, you know, this is her, this was her cause. This was her baby. And it's gotten so big. This organization helps about 3 million people or more in 170 countries around the world. So this is a rough day, I think, for the family of Special Olympics. Shriver, 88, has been in the hospital, like I said, for a couple of days. She's had a setback. Of course, Maria Shriver and the California governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the rest of the family are there by her side. They all flew into Cape Cod because it's not looking good. But like I said, you just have to tip your cap to her and wish her family well because of what she took on. And, you know, it wasn't just some charity thing. Oh, I've got to do a few charity appearances. I think she really took it to heart, and it really meant a lot to her. And, of course, there was a mentally challenged Kennedy that was her sister, and it probably was very personal to her back in the day as well. All right, so now we move on to the dungeon. There's this woman named Kate Gosselin. Do you know? Yes. John and Kate plus 8. It's on the TLC channel, and apparently a lot of people watch it because when they were going through this divorce separation thing, the whole world was stalking them, the paparazzi, et cetera. And who are they and what are they famous for? They're famous for having so many kids. She was another woman who, I want to say it was John and Kate plus 8, she had 6 children, and they're all the same age, obviously. And she had 2 others previous to that, so that's the 8 kids. And, of course, people were just fascinated by what these kids did and how the family made it and all that other sort of stuff. And so the world kind of embraced them and then now disappointed, I think, in the fact that they're splitting up and there's all kinds of problems. So, of course, she bared her soul, as naturally you would want to do, on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira. Here's a little snippet of that.
A lot of, you know, it's just life handing me unexpected things. And, you know, I do. I wake up and I feel a lot of failure. This is not what any mother sets out for her children. This does not feel like the best for them. It's necessary. It has to take place. And I think that I've turned the focus on myself. And in looking ahead and then in retrospect, I want my children to see a mother who is committed to her children, who is determined, who has integrity, perseverance, and never gives up. I want my children to see that everything I've done for them is out of love.
All right, so, you know, is she sincere? Is she not sincere? Here's the deal. If you want to do all these things for your children, the one thing you can do, since you've already agreed to the reality television show and you're already knee-deep into it, and let's face it, you have a lot of mouths to feed, and let's also face it, you like the camera, you like living the life underneath the lights because you're inviting the paparazzi into all of this crazy circus that the two of them have created. You don't have to take it a step further and do the whole, oh, let me do this exclusive on the Today Show, because you just know it. I just know it. There's a book that'll come out of this, and who knows what, and whatever angle they can possibly think of to keep things going, to keep people involved and riveted into these people's lives. And frankly, I just don't get it. There's Better Tube out there. There's even better reality shows out there that you could actually laugh at. So I'm going to say, we're going to put her in the dungeon, but we're going to make her wait. She has to wait because they kept America waiting anyway on the edge of their seats while they decided what they were going to do with their lives. We move on to the story about the people that were stranded in Rochester, Minnesota. And unfortunately, their plane ended up on lockdown, for 9 hours in a grounded plane. Boy, I sure hope that they like the people sitting next to them. And what happened was it was a Continental Airline flight from Houston to the Twin Cities on Friday night. And so they expected they'd be on the ground in about 3 hours or so and back home, as one of the passengers described it. Instead, they were trapped in the small plane parked at the Rochester airport. There were children on board. There were some crying babies. There were overused toilets because, of course, what are you going to do? And it was Express Jet Airlines that operated the plane. They say the flight was diverted to Rochester because of the thunderstorms in the Twin Cities. Well, you can't do anything about Mother Nature. But the airline regulations, I think somebody could make a call, right? So supposedly the airline regulations prevented passengers from getting off the plane. I mean, that's just incredulous. The airline can't figure out another option besides leaving people when everybody's gone home and everything. Oh, it's too risky. Leaving people trapped on the plane for 9 hours? I mean, it's not a 747, so you couldn't even walk around. We're talking about a tiny sardine can of a plane. Have you ever flown on them? What a nightmare. They couldn't do anything to make me feel better about this. The airline crew on the plane had hit their maximum work hours in the air, so another crew had to come in. They talked about chartering a bus. That didn't work out. And letting the passengers into the Rochester airport, they said, wasn't possible because they would have to go through security screening again. Who cares? Call the screeners up. Pay them a few hours of overtime. You have to be kidding me. Or what about letting the passengers just sleep in the airport terminal? And they said that that wasn't an option either. I don't get it. So I'm going to say shame on Continental Airlines and ExpressJets and all the idiots who bungled this up, because there had to be a better solution to this. Had to be. Matt, can you imagine if you were trapped on a plane like that right there, nobody's around, who cares, for 9 hours?
Yeah, that would be absolutely ridiculous. I was telling you off air when we were talking about this that I don't think I'd be able to last through 9 hours. I mean, I'd be going nuts trying to break the door down or something, or I don't even know what I'd be doing, but it wouldn't be sitting there patiently waiting, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And so I wonder with the people, I wonder if they were trying to demand that something be done. I would have to think that somebody tried to do something. Now, of course, in the wake of this, ExpressJet is saying they apologize and that, you know, they're so sorry that this happened. There's got to be a better way, folks. I mean, there has to be a way. I understand about airline safety. I understand about big airports. You just can't let people hop off of planes. But this wasn't even a big plane, and everybody else pretty much was gone. So there had to be a better way to handle this. And there has to be something you can do about circumstances. So let's open the jail, and we're going to throw all the airline people in. God bless the passengers, and Kate Goslin as well.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, again, just an unbelievable nightmare. We've heard of stories like this before, trapped on a JetBlue, remember a couple of years ago at LaGuardia and all that sort of stuff. But this has to be one of the worst stories, period, I think, that I have heard when it comes to the airlines. Because there had to be some sort of a solution, some sort of a compromise. Call an airline official. Do something, for goodness sake. It doesn't make sense. What does make sense is you can unload to me by flipping me an email, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?